Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you. I really appreciate that. I felt your heart with that. And I want to thank Brother McLean for his kind remarks and for leading this service today. And being a part of Texas Bible College through the years, he's been an instructor also, helped out in many times through the years, and also is going to join us again next year, a part-time faculty member here, and be teaching some. And we're looking forward to working with him in that capacity. I want to welcome all of you here today to Texas Bible College for this special occasion in Pentecostal Heritage Week. The only reason any of us are here is because somebody paid a price to get the gospel to us and to maintain a life of integrity. And on the basis of all of that, we have what we have today. And we want to give honor to our pioneers and to those who have gone before us and who have paved the way for us and made a way. We want to thank the Lord for His blessings upon Texas Bible College this year. And all of the students and faculty and staff join me in welcoming our alumni. Such a beautiful representation. Many pastors, evangelists, educators, Christian workers, wives, others in the audience here. We're so happy that you've come. We appreciate it so very much. And this sign cannot really tell all that's in our hearts. You're really welcome here. You're a part of our family. You're a part of Texas Bible College, not just in the past, but now and in the future. That's the way we feel about it. So I know you'll make yourselves at home in the familiar surroundings here today, wander through the place, see the various spots where this or that might have happened, or where you learned this or discovered that. The circle is still there. The warm atmosphere that surrounds the place. The spirit of friendship still permeates the atmosphere on this old campus. Our prayer rooms still resound with the cries of hungry hearts, men and women seeking God for anointing, unction, direction. Our cafeteria still serves great meals. I say our cafeteria, it's not really ours anymore. We're only leasing it. In fact, just this morning, the man who bought our cafeteria and made such a wonderful gift to the school, many thousands of dollars, earlier in the year, came over this morning, had no idea that he would be coming. He didn't know what was going on. He walked in my office and said, "I've come to give you a check." He owns this business across the way here and backs up to our cafeteria, or his cafeteria. And he said, "I want to give you a check. One of our staff, Brother Phelps, was over there the other day and said, I'll just mow a little strip along the way here for you, for your business." Oh, he said, "You don't have to do that." He said, "Yeah, I'll do it." He said, "I'll mow that over there, too." He said, "I'll just take care of that." The man said, "No," I said, I've got somebody that does that." Brother Phelps said, "Oh, we'll take care of that for you." And so he walked in, Brother Phelps, I hadn't even got a chance to tell you, with a check for, he said, "This is what it would cost me for a year to get that mowed back there, so I'm going to give it to the college." So he handed us a check for $720. We appreciate Mr. Butcher's gift, but I appreciate Brother Phelps' attitude. That's the attitude of Texas Bible College. I believe God blesses that. I really do. Our chapel services have been signally blessed of the Lord this year. It's been such a tremendous blessing to worship here. But where did all this come from? Where did all this come from? We'd better not come to a land that we didn't habit initially, originally, and to vineyards that we didn't plant, to houses that we didn't build, and not be thankful, and not remember where they came from, and appreciate their origin and those who paid a price to make them a reality. We'd better remember. And today we are. Or all of this came from God, that is true, but it came through the heart of a man. God put a burden on the heart of Brother Gibros for the train of young men and women to take this gospel around the world and preach just as he had done for so many years and carry a burden and share a vision. And he traversed this district to promote this idea, to instill it in our hearts and to charge our brethren with this idea. And he is here today, and we're honoring him and his family for the contribution they made as the founding district superintendent of Texas Bible College. And as a result, Brother Gidrow's, thousands of young men and women have gone throughout this country and around the world, starting new churches, evangelizing, working in Christian schools, ministering in many, many ways, pastoring, and in every conceivable ministry, I'm sure, you'll find an alumnus of Texas Bible College. And it's because of the burden that you have. We appreciate Brother V.A. Gidrose. I want us to rise in honor of this great man of God. Gidrow's words could not really express the feeling of our hearts at this time. They're really inadequate. But we did put a few down on this plaque that we want to give you today, that you can just read them now and then and know that we're thinking about you and loving you. The students, the staff, and the alumni honor Reverend V.A. Gidrow's, founding district superintendent of Texas Bible College, for his personal devotion to training evangelists of our Pentecostal heritage.
Right.
God bless
you. God bless you. This, to me, is more than I had ever expected from anybody. I've seen many a plaque given in conferences and camp meetings and sectional conferences, but this is actually the first one I ever got that's called a plaque. We used to win Sheep for Christ almost every year.
That's right.
And we just, Brother Kilgore was the young people's leader, and it was almost an automatic thing. But, of course, others got where they hitched up their big horses and have done a good job. But of all the achievements in the world as an individual, when you think of yourself, if you think anything is worthwhile, you have to think of what your contribution is to the up-and-coming generation. Of which, when I received the Holy Ghost, there were no Bible schools. Our brethren were very strict about some things, and among them they thought that a seminary was a cemetery, and they called it that from the pulpit. But we finally came to see that there's a need for us to get our preachers a little training, give them a little bit of what we have learned through a hard way. And sometime I think that we ought to have a boot training camp like the old timers have a sort of a miniature camp meeting and a bunch of straw in a tent and a straw bunk for you to sleep on for about a week. And the kind of bread and gravy that we ate at the camp meeting. And if you go through some of that, which is just almost nothing, I was in Brother Haywood's church Saturday, and they were preparing for a festival of some kind, and we got there on a good day because they were pasting all the pictures of the past in some hexagon-shaped cardboard belt turning whatever you might call it. They're going to put this on a pedestal and people can just turn it real slow and you can see the path. There'll be about 12 of those. We got to see them all, and the big one, the large one. But one of the things I appreciated seeing more in a way was that along the boulevard, there was posted a large poster of Brother G.C. Haywood, and it said, Garwood T. Haywood, Memorial Boulevard. And his picture is on every one of those posts. And I told the pastor, Brother Smith, I said, before, on the way to the plane tomorrow, I'd like to have a couple pictures of that. And I'll take home, paste it in my Bible, and I'll show it to people. And I went off and forgot it this morning. But I do appreciate that man. I hold a great allegiance to his past, both doctrinally and his talent as a singer. And the great work that he influenced so many people by. His songs are in the Protestant songbooks around the world. And some of the songs he sings, that he sings, can never be duplicated. And of course in that group, I saw a lot of folks I know. And Bishop Tobin, when he was pastor there, he told me more about Christ Temple than anyone. But somebody else told me that Brother Haywood's chair stayed empty for quite a few weeks, almost months, before they could make up their mind as to who would occupy it. And a lot of times there were no morning service. The big pipe organ is gone. It's they don't make them anymore, and it's hard to get in repair pieces. So now they have that big 8-foot console that Bishop Golder put in there. And Bishop Tyson built the beautiful auditorium they have. But if the organ was there, it would have made it much more impressive to me because of the many times I've been there. And Brother Tobin he and I would find each other at any convention. And but someone had told me that when they announced from the pulpit that Brother Tobin was elected, was chosen as the pastor, the congregation wept and wept and wept. They had a sort of a common understanding between each other that we never praise men like you clapped for all of us this morning. That used to never be in our Pentecostal group. That's praising a man. And they didn't believe in that. But anyway, they wept. And Brother Tobin wouldn't go up. So four men picked him up and carried him up on a platform and sat him in Brother Haywood's chair. But that place is a legend to us of all the mighty works they've done. You can see a building about the size of this one, just a clapboard building. That's where they begin to bring in folks by the hundreds. And now they have a school and a lot of other things. Then I went to Bishop Gold's church, and they're running 400 or 500. And then I went on to Brother Sheldon's church, Bishop Sheldon. And they bought a golf course, 18 holes. I wonder how big a 25-hole one would be. But honestly, that's a big piece of ground. And they're going to build a magnificent building there. And if you ever want to hear a good preacher, Bishop Sheldon is a man who can do it. And I went through the past last week. So just in the immediate past, I can look at this building, this Bible school, and remember when Brother Kilgore told us that he had found this government property, and we came to look at it. And we all agreed that it was a good starter. And Brother Pugh and Brother Kilgore, you know, we've got some fellows that really went up from that little school board we had here, and thank the Lord for every one of them. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I heard somebody say recently that if you stand up in the pulpit and refer to the past, you just as well to forget about the future. But I'm afraid that that's an error. The past holds memories so dear, it should be locked in our brains and stamped on our churches. Not to glorify men, but to tell the story of Jesus. And last night, when I got up, I mean, night before last, when I got up to preach, I didn't care very much about preaching. I was thinking about a song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Write from my heart every word. Tell me the story so precious, sweetest that ever was heard. And I appreciate a Bible school. It has a sincere desire to tell the truth to young men and women. It's not all good and easy things to tell, but tell the truth. It's a job to be a preacher. And I never did recommend to any of my boys to be a preacher. I really sort of felt sorry for them. Because dealing with the human family is quite something in this life. And I feel like this school has been very nice and respectful to me. have a president we had, very kind and gentle, and the district has repaid me a hundredfold for what they think maybe that we did. Of course, we lingered longer in the office to finish projects. We had a major project every 2 years, and then this one came on us, and it was a matter of finding the money and see if we could go by going around and raising it. And our churches responded. The Spirit of God blessed us, and we was anxious to get the count whenever some of the men would come in from the field and their assigned places. So I had a man that I did banking with a long time, and I liked the things he had on his desk. They were really good moral things. And I went to see him. And he's been the president of a bank in Bay City quite a while. And he told me, he asked me who I was dealing with here. And I said, we're dealing with Pasadena Savings, just a few blocks, not far from us. Why, he said, I found your money. He said, what is it? He said, those fellows are brother-in-laws with that big Pasadena bank. And he says, have him to pull his coattail a little bit, mention your name, and tell him what you want. Then you go up and get your money. And it was just that easy. Honestly, just that easy. I just walked in, and he was ready to talk, and he was writing before I got in. All he needed was some particulars. Thank the Lord for the day that we wanted more than just those two little rooms over there for a chapel. We had a vision for this chapel. Boys used to play football here. And it was a muddy mess sometimes. But they would stand up in the chapel sometimes an hour, a bit more, to hear a minister or a missionary. And we just got a burden for to slap this on top of the other debt and let it go. And I went and asked him about it and said, sure. And then we opened the beds and there's $54,000 and said, we threw it on top of that. And we thank God for that. And that memory, you see, that's yesterday. And they passed through these aisles yesterday. Men who have gone on to their occupation and their destiny and their goal. That came through this chapel and heard the sounds of that beautiful singing and made that dedication. And they've gone on to wrap around the world. There will be some more that will open those doors when you leave. But let's pray that we do not forget what the purpose of it all is. That we will someday rise up to meet the Lord with sheaves in our arms. And somebody we saved will be for us. Thank God for you folks, and thank you, Brother Enzi, and your planning to have this day. I'm just like the preacher, they gave a new card to him when he got up to say thanks. He said, I don't appreciate it, but I sure deserve it. I might tell you, Brother Enzi, maybe I better say what the way he said it, because that's the way it is. I don't appreciate it, but I sure deserve it.